How are we all doing? So thank you so much to all of you for coming out early this morning after what was, a fantastic attendee party last night. How many of you made it out to the party? Great. So my name is Chris McNulty. I am the general manager of the SharePoint business at Dell Software, formerly Quest. Here with me this morning is my good friend Kim Forshammer from Golder Associates. We're going to be presenting this morning our session on future-proofing your SharePoint solutions. We're going to give you a case study of how Golder has been able to use our tools to craft a powerful business solution without custom code using our web parts, and then talk through one of the values of that is the ease of upgrade. We know many of you are here about information on SharePoint 2013 and how to move into it, and so we'll give you a roadmap for how to upgrade to SharePoint 2013 as well as a live demo of what it looks like when you upgrade a custom solution. So as we get started, a couple of words about our sponsors today, in addition to Microsoft. Within Dell Software, this is our history. This is our history largely from the Quest tradition, going back to 1987 with over 25 years in coming up with powerful solutions to real-world IT issues. We have a heavy investment in R&D. We have nearly 4,000 employees deployed worldwide, focusing on SharePoint and other solutions. There's a lot in the Quest portfolio. If you want more information about that or about what we do, please come visit us at booth 319. We're the very large, loud booth right up in the front of the exhibit hall. The Dell SharePoint software business, I will make this very quick. We focus on three areas. Migration, how do you get your content into SharePoint in the first place? Management, how do we look at the security needs that you have, the content management needs that you have, looking at recovery, looking at storage management, and finally customization, which is the crux of what we'll be looking at today, our web parts, which is a series of components that allow you to build business apps without writing code, as well as deployment. Again, for more information and demos on all of these, please come see us at the booth. So again, my name is Chris McNulty. I am really happy to be here this morning. I have spent more than 10 years working with SharePoint. Many, many long hours. Most of my experience and training is in large systems IT and in consulting. I joined Quest a little over a year ago in a community and product management strategy role, and graduated to the general manager role shortly thereafter. This is my background. I'm not going to walk through it in great detail, but I just, again, I can't reiterate how happy I am to be here with you this morning. I believe that SharePoint is a transforming technology. It is not just another bit of software. It is not just another website. I am really proud that I have associated myself with a technology that is a radical ability to transform people's lives. At Quest, our mission for the SharePoint group is to make the lives of SharePoint teams better. I think SharePoint's ability to reach out is unparalleled. You'll be hearing in a little while in our case study about how SharePoint helps Golder make the world a cleaner and greener place. I think SharePoint and what we do there is powerful, whether it's as simple as the ability to get a SharePoint admin on his way home to his family 2 minutes earlier, or at the other end of the spectrum, enabling global, multinational nonprofits to reach out and serve constituencies in ways they never have been. I'm honored to be part of that community. I'm honored to be part of that technology. I'm honored that you're all here this morning. You're all a part of this community, and for myself, for those of us who speak, we do this for you, and we hope that this is a useful session. A few words on my other sponsor, my family, my wife Haley. This is my son Nate on the left. Rachel's down there at the bottom, and my daughter Devin, who is at NYU, was taking this picture. We took a photo of her later. I'm from Boston, Mass. How many of you are from Boston? Okay, a couple. So if you haven't been to Boston, this picture was taken in Boston. Now, obviously, this was taken at Yosemite last year. But this is these are the people who make it possible for me to be here this morning, and I have to call out them. The other thing is, in today's session, Kim, it was really good to work with you in putting these slides together. We were challenged to do something that was graphically rich, and you know, I want to reflect back on a real good friend of mine in the community. The first time I saw them present, I'd been doing presentations for a little bit, but was struck by how graphically rich the presentation was. And you know, I was taught and inspired to do better. And so I hope I'm up to that challenge here. Kim, I think you're more than up to the challenge. This photo was taken where I grew up, east end of Long Island. I like to talk about sunrise as an important time. It's relative to where we are in SharePoint right now. Because for a long time, in 2010, there have been things we've wanted to do, and we've been held back. We've been waiting for the next release. And now the sun is up, and it's a new day, and we have a nearly infinite frontier of things that we can do with the technology. And it's a powerful, powerful time to be looking at this. Since this is SharePoint, and the official word this year for SharePoint is governance, we have to talk about governance for today's session. So a little guide to what we'll be talking about today. I want to make this clear up front to make sure this is a session for you. We'll begin by walking through the value of a code-free custom solution. Why is it important to use that approach, and what are the advantages that you get from that? Next, Kim will be here, and he'll walk you through a case study of how Golder was able to do that. Finally, we'll switch to how you upgrade a custom solution. We'll give you the roadmap for how you prepare for, execute, and test a 2013 upgrade. And since we like to live dangerously, we will do a live upgrade here at the end of the session. Some stuff that will be out of scope. We're not going to walk through building custom code or custom configuring the web parts. We're not going to go through the installation of SharePoint. We're not going to go through a deep dive on upgrade. There are other sessions and longer sessions better devoted to that. But I do want you to walk out of here today with a guide to how to do a migration and upgrade. We're also not going to talk about the other products in the Dell Quest arsenal, including the migration suite, although that is an equally valid way of moving content from older versions of SharePoint to 2013. If you have a question, please put your hand up. We have a lot to cover, so we're going to try to get through as much as possible. But at the end, we'll be sticking around, and we'll be at the booth. Also, please, Twitter is essential to this. I encourage you to tweet this session, hashtag SPC201. And on Twitter, I'm at cmcnulty2000. So why SharePoint? We all know that SharePoint usually begins, the way we bring it into most organizations, is to empower document-oriented collaboration. Documents were where SharePoint began more than 10 years ago. Over time, as SharePoint has grown up, we've brought new capabilities to bear. We've brought in social, we've brought in application platforms and business intelligence. And when we do that, there's a powerful advantage at being able to deploy those things on a tech platform you already own. Every time we need to do one of those things, we have to go buy a new platform, install it, and learn it. It's far less efficient. So the ROI is maximized by that. SharePoint is business software. Our goals for SharePoint are about business outcomes. As a result, seeing SharePoint as the app platform is a logical choice because it's the tool that many of us already have in our organizations. And as you'll see, it's pretty easy to build and deploy and support solutions that take little or no custom code. Some of those advantages are it's faster to do it. Obviously, if you're starting with more refined materials, you can get where you need to go more quickly. And it's definitely simpler to support for you. When you choose to build with components like our web parts, you're shifting that support burden onto us. How do you make sure that the code for 2013 is going to work in 2013? You point to us. It's our job to figure that out and certify that. Resource utilization is another challenge. Whether you are in in-house IT or you're part of a consultancy, time is finite. And we are all stretched to the max. I'm frequently asked this about the value of our web parts. People say, I have fantastic developers for SharePoint on staff. couldn't they write the same code? Absolutely. But there's two things you'll find. One is that you can reuse these as components around which a developer can add extra material. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. The second thing is your best developers are rarely sitting around on the bench looking for a new project to start. They're already engaged in other initiatives. And so your choice is between waiting for them to cycle into being available another 3, 4, 6 months, or being able to take a different mix of skills, someone who might not excel or have any experience at all in writing managed compiled code, but who can configure an app without using code. Code-free solutions, because of how they're stored, are easier to roll out to an entire organization. And the most important reason we're going to speak about today, it simplifies your upgrade path. There is less to test. As long as we install the base building blocks of your application in the environment, your upgrade is a breeze. And I think we'll prove that out for you. So we've done a fair bit of research at the conferences that we get to speak at over the last few years. And so one question we ask about isn't on user adoption per se, because adoption is sometimes a forced way of getting people onto the platform, but user satisfaction, because adoption should really be about choice. When we poll users about SharePoint's traditional document-based collaboration, we typically see user satisfaction range of 60 to 70%. In fact, 63.6% is where that number usually is trending at the moment. We turn the question around to those next-generation workloads, social, workflow, business intelligence. We find the satisfaction drops a lot, somewhere in the 20 to 30% range. Why is that? We've gone and done follow-ups on that. And it's not because there's anything intrinsically wrong with SharePoint's capabilities in these areas. In fact, it's quite strong. It's really because organizations have never even put these values into production to take full advantage of them. They're unfamiliar with them, so they're not satisfied just because they haven't tried using them. So we think the value of SharePoint as an application platform is a powerful way to close that gap and bring user satisfaction for those next generation things in line with the high satisfaction users have with document-based collaboration. So that's why we think custom code, custom solutions based on a code-free environment should matter. I'd like to ask Kim to come up here now and walk us through a case study of how Golder was able to take advantage of our web parts to deploy a powerful solution for Golder. Kim? I bequeath thee the clicker.
Thanks a lot. And it's right to click forward and left to click backward.
In this hemisphere.
Exactly.
Yes.
My name is Kim Forshammer. I am Danish by birth. I've lived the last 10 years in Sweden, and before that 16 years in Norway, so I'm a little bit all over the place. I don't really belong here. I'm a biologist by education, specializing in aquatic biology, aquaculture, but for the last 10 years I've been focusing on information management, which you can, let's say, with a very broad definition, turn data into useful information, is what I do for a living. And as such, I use all the programs, standard programs, and consider myself a super user of many of the standard programs, whether it's Excel or Word or other stuff, and also SharePoint. A lot of the stuff, most of what I've done, I've taught myself doing it. Never had time to take the education, so I have no formal education. I have never gone to any classes, and to me, classes is something you attend, not something that you use in programming. So I don't go into Visual Studio, and I don't do things there unless I absolutely have to. I know that it exists, and I can find my way, but normally I try to stay away from it. Gold Associates doesn't belong here either. It's not a software company or a developer company. We are doing consulting within ground engineering and environmental services is what we do for a living. It's founded in Toronto in 1960. We've got about 8,000 employees worldwide. I think we are present in something like 60 countries or something like that, have 150 offices around the world. And this picture of a guy standing on a mountaintop with some device doing something is a good illustration. We are all over the place, taking measurements, collecting data, collecting information. That is what we as a company do as the first part. The next part, of course, is that we process the information. The third part is that we deliver it to a client in some condensed
form. That's not you on top of the glacier, though.
No, it's too cold for me.
Okay.
if we go back, this is the climate I prefer. This is New Zealand, so a lot warmer.
That was the climate I thought we were supposed to have at the beach last night.
it was more like this, actually. Okay, and as I said, we collect data, and from the mountaintop, before we come here to some people who are sitting in the middle of the jungle in Africa with their laptop, I think it's powered by the car battery, and they are sending the information they collected that day, photos, Excel files, GPS tracks from the GPS, to our SharePoint in Stockholm in Sweden. And from there, the client the next day will be able to follow their tracks. He can see their tracks on the map, he can see the photos, and he can see the data they collected all through the SharePoint platform. And this is just one example. We can get data from data loggers that could collect data every 5 minutes from more or less anywhere in the world. We have handheld devices, web-based inputs, all kind of file types. And we get a lot of data from labs. We take a lot of samples, send them to the lab, and get the results back in some weird format. Not as much PDF as it was, but we have that as well. And whereas we get the data from all over the place all the time, we want to show the data, all the time, in real time, in one place, and in standard formats. So that's the challenge that I've had as information management person in this company, is to try to collect all this information, make it available in one place. And we have developed a system that we call Gaudi, Golda Associate Universal Data Interface. And yes, we know there's a Spanish architect also called Gaudi, so therefore there are a few pictures from Barcelona in the background here. In doing this, our main restraint has been time. The Swedish operation, we are only around 150 people. The financing of the development work we do has to take place or be through project work. We have one very good qualified developer, but he is working all the time on the back end, getting the database to work, getting the web services, getting the data in and out of there. So he can't do much web or SharePoint development. Most projects are very small, very short. All projects are, of course, urgent. When the project manager comes to us to get a SharePoint site set up, it's usually because they needed it yesterday. So we don't have any long development time or anything. And we've got projects in all sizes. So basically, the bottom sentence here, the main importance for us is to be able to do things very quickly, not necessarily to do them correctly. We don't have time to document a lot of code, we have not time to develop it, we have not time to look into 500 different possibilities of doing things and finding the right things. We just need to get something done that is ready within half an hour or an hour. Some of the design criteria for our system and our web interface is that it needs to the ability to handle all the measurements that we normally encounter. We need to be able to add new projects. We have just in the Swedish operation about 700 projects per year. That's about 2 projects per day. Not all of them go into this system, but many of them will. And many projects have their own. We have a common interface where we as super users, power users, can see all the projects that we are working on. But for the clients, they need their own individual website, so each of them need a SharePoint site. So the web interface must be easy to create and change. And we need it to be multilingual because Sweden is a small place. We are also working with Danish projects, Norwegian projects, projects in Africa, projects in Australia, in Italy, all over the place. So we need to be very flexible in what we are doing. So what we have done is that we, our building blocks, currently it's MOST 2007, it will be 2010 within hopefully a week or two, but we haven't been able to do it yet. We use web services to make data available from SQL Server. So we've got a SQL Server running in the background collecting all the data. We create charts using .NET charting. We publish maps with ESRI, ArcGIS Server. Of course, very important with all the sample points that we have to be able to find where they actually are. And then we have standard SharePoint content, including photos and everything else you can think of. So these are the main building blocks, and the challenge has been to put this together in some way that integrates all these bits and pieces. And of course, the question why SharePoint is because projects normally require us to handle a lot of standard information, document, photos, tasks, calendars, contacts. And everybody who has worked with SharePoint will recognize these five items as some of the basic things in SharePoint. So no need to reinvent the wheel related to all this, but then we need to get all the other bits and pieces to work in this environment. And here we come to the code-free solution. We have, to a large extent, based this, developed the front-end SharePoint using the web parts for SharePoint from what was formerly known as Quest, what is today Dell. And to illustrate for those of you who are not familiar with this, I'll just throw in some slides what this code-free solution means. It means that on to the left, there's a list of all the lists on the side. I choose which list or which lists to display. I can select the fields. I can even rename the fields. I can do various other stuff. I can filter the view as required. These three steps. And there's system integration, as I indicated. So I select a web service. I can select a method for that. And I can define the parameters used by this method. So, and those parameters are usually some sort of filter. And that filter we can take as a default value, fixed value, or we can get it as an HTTP request. So we can get our filters from the URL, which is something that's very useful when integrating all this. So when I've done this, chosen my fields to display, to deploy it, I click OK. It's relatively simple and something that even I can do, as I usually say. And I've got my website and I've got my information, which can look on the left here, you can see some SharePoint content. To the right, you've got some system integration content. The two look a bit different. That's because they've got different style sheets, or there's some CSS in there. You can do that as well. So you can make it look the way you want to, depending on what client you have. And the best part from our point of view is the bottom here, that this solution can easily be copied, moved, and upgraded, because these solutions do not use the unique ID of the list, the 123478PQ, whatever it's called. It's actually using the actual names of it. So you just write in documents if you've got a document library. And you can copy this web part, or you can copy this page to another site where you've got it. A list with the same name, and it will work exactly the same. So we can just copy, paste, and we are up and running with a new website within 10 minutes for a new project. So that was the speed I talked about, and that is the speed we need to be able to do this. So for many projects, we create a new, completely new website with all the content that we usually have within an hour. Some statistics for this. In this Gaudi system we have around 100 projects running now. We have 80 different sample types, and sample types that can be groundwater measurement, it can be a settlement, it can be a fish, it can be a tree, it can be many different things. And we've got 25 million sample values, 20,000 environmental samples, 350,000 analytical results. So it's running quite a lot of data through the system. And to give you some examples of what kind of projects we're working with, this is a Norwegian project, one of the largest and oldest industrial areas in Norway, where they've had a lot of contamination issues. And 68 parks in the areas have been identified. And to the right, you see a typical web page from our system. I think this one has around 15 different web parts pulling information from all over the place and putting it together. Here, showing different aspects, showing the photos, the map, the chart, the results. It's not, I must say, it's not all code-free, because we can also use JavaScript and do custom HTML code in the web parts, so to make it look nice or look a bit different. So there's a bit of that in there. But all that code is on top of SharePoint. It's all in the web parts, designed directly on the page. Another example, large remediation project, one of the first projects I worked on when I joined the company about 13 years ago. And it's still going on, and it will still be going on for 10 more years before the entire area has been cleaned up. So far, over 5,500 environmental samples have been taken, and they need to be classified according to 16 different criteria. The people can do that directly on the web page based on the right results. Another, just this is a nice picture, so I included this, a large construction of a parking space underneath a mall and tunnels and
those
everything.
Those look like fun toys.
They are fun toys. They are not the ones we are working with, but something like that. And here there are weekly measurements of groundwater, and there's a lot of other measurements going on here. And the data is displayed again on our SharePoint. It's available to us, to the client, who is the contractor, and to the local municipality, who, of course, is interested in making sure that the environment is good and the houses are not falling down when they do all this construction work. And here we have a photo from a construction, large tunnel construction going on in Stockholm here. And here you see a lot of machinery, you see a lot of heavy construction. And here we see a bit from our website where we have the tension in the struts. It's measured hourly, sent to our server. And the struts, they are those, the four beams that go across there. They are taking a lot of pressure, and there are tension sensors sitting off those. And if the tension gets too high, you better run or you better do something, because then everything is going to collapse. So it's very important for the project and for the people working there that these measurements are available in this way.
Right.
And a short summary, doing it this way, we have achieved a seamless integration, different sources of information and data with a code-free solution that gives us speed, flexibility, and security in design and deployment and migration. And as a company, it has enabled us to handle more and larger projects. So it has been very useful, very successful from our point of view.
Thanks a lot, Kim.
That was that.
Thanks. So I'm always really impressed every time you walk through that solution and we get to see all the things you've done with it. So how do you take a solution, how do you take a SharePoint environment like Kim's and bring it forward to make it ready for 2013? Something I said? show of hands, how many of you are currently running, any of you currently running 2013 in your environment? What I would expect. 2010? Okay. 2007? Okay, some. 2003? Keep it up. 2000. Whoop, whoop. 2003 is in the house. Okay. So, the good news and the bad news. And if you need more information on the upgrade and migration process, there are some sessions that are dedicated to upgrade deep dives going on right now. So if you need more, you could go there. But my slides are prettier. So there is really only one way in the box to perform an upgrade with SharePoint, and that's database attach. What Microsoft calls V2V, version to version, moving from 2010 to 2013, we're going to attach databases, SQL databases, from the source environment, make a copy of them, put them in the target. When we attach them, the schema is updated and they're brought up and running in 2013. That's the Microsoft technique. Have any of you ever tried doing an in-place upgrade for 2007 to 2010? Okay. Did it work? Yeah. So they fixed it by making it impossible. So you cannot go in place to upgrade from 2010 to 2013. You also can't go directly from 2007 to 2013 or 2003. Sorry. There are other ways of doing it. You can move the content, and that's something that we can help you with. Microsoft, in their documentation, will also describe B2B upgrades, build-to-build. That's the patching process. When you deploy a cumulative update or service pack, there's a schema change that is technically uses the upgrade engine that is in place. So you don't have to strip your databases off if you're doing a patch. How do you get ready for this? There's three things you need to be aware of. You may or may not need to upgrade your Windows environment. You may or may not need to make some changes to SQL. And there's probably some things that you should do to your content to get it aligned for bringing it forward. First thing, your first mission is to understand what you need to deploy. The server operating systems are up here, 2008 R2 or 2012. Microsoft has raised the official guidance on how much memory you need in those servers. 8, 12, or 24 gig of RAM. Keep in mind, these are for production use. This is to get good performance in production use. If you have a single server build where you have SQL running in the same environment, you're going to need 24 gig. Now, I've gotten to present this material around the country a lot since the public preview in July. And a question does come up a lot, wow, Microsoft really upped this. They really didn't. The minimums were fairly low before. And those of us who consult on SharePoint would have told you, and the best practices were always to give your servers the memory they need. Don't starve them. More information on TechNet. Databases supported, SQL 2008 R2 and 2012. SQL does have a separate upgrade process. The good news is if you've been running any of these versions, you can directly upgrade SQL to R2 or to 2012 Denali. So odds are, if you're in the 2010 space, you were not running SQL Server 2000, because that's not supported there either. But there is a direct way to get your SQL Server ready. So the third thing to prepare is getting your content aligned. When we talk about content consolidation, bringing all of those eggs back into one basket in 2010. Some of the reasons why, if you do this now, regardless of when your timing is for moving to 2013, you'll get benefits from preparing your content now. The first one that we see a lot is remigration. You may have tried a migration in the past. You may have built an environment, asked users to move their own content to it, or you did a migration and you left the sources in place, and people went back to the original file share and made changes, and SharePoint never really took off. You have a chance to fix that by getting all that content back to where you wanted it to be. Mergers and acquisitions, definitely another key area, why you might have multiple islands of SharePoint in your organization that need to be consolidated. Also, departmental or divisional portals. SharePoint can be really easy to set up and running, which is a really good thing. The bad thing is it can be really easy to set it up and running, to get a WSS site or a SharePoint Foundation site. You have an opportunity, before you bring everything together for 2013, to bring all those things together and to unify it. A fourth thing that we see is information re-architecture. It used to be that we would build any technology site with a hierarchy. We would start at the enterprise level, then have geographies or divisions, and then departments, and then projects, and then personal sites got layered in somewhere else. We've moved to a much more flexible project or team approach in the way a lot of sites are built now. This is a chance to rethink that architecture. And if related projects are scattered in the architecture, you can collect them in a more flexible environment. And lastly, upgrade readiness. Bringing your information together into 2010 gives you an opportunity to examine it and to start using what is in 2010 to groom the content. Use some of the ECM tools to age content gracefully when it's approached end of life. It is easier to move content from 2010 to 2013 than it is to reach around to legacy ECM platforms and file shares and a whole bunch of things and try to do all of those things at once in the context of a migration. And these are things that you should do in advance of the migration. Trying to make all of these changes at once is a recipe for disaster. So you want to make sure that the content has been brought together and that you're reasonably comfortable with what you want to do with it. How do you figure out what it is? This is an iterative process. You're going to figure out, what content do you have? Where is it? Who does it belong to? Do I even care about this stuff anymore? Is it too big? Is it bad for SharePoint? There are some things, believe it or not, that don't fit in SharePoint. Really large video files, database files, MATLAB matrix files. There's a list of things which, because of the I/O requirements, were never really designed to go into SharePoint, and you're going to have poor results by trying to migrate those things in. Figure out with those criteria how much you have, and you're going to keep cycling through this until you're satisfied that you've got the set of what you want to bring forward. Applications are an equally important part of figuring out what you want to bring into 2013. If you look around a lot of SharePoint environments, you will see a fair bit of test application that were put out shortly after 2007 or shortly after or 2010. Bob Test, there's a web part out there. You've got to figure out what's in your environment, because you need to assess the feasibility of bringing that stuff up into 2013. If you have a well-governed environment and things are documented, congratulations. If there's been a release process, you probably already know what's running in your environment. But that may not always be the case. You need to figure out what actually is out there. Do you have the source code? Is it still being used? Do you need to bring it forward? So there's a triage and testing process that you're going to need to go through in figuring out that. We'll show you some tricks at least to get you started on figuring out what's in your environment. Am I too far away? No. So if you have documented your environment before, fantastic. This is a chance to refresh what you're bringing forward. If you haven't, no time like the present to start with the best practice. The key things that we want to grab are information about the content databases, the services that you're running in the shared service architecture, and which farms and web applications are out there. How are they configured? Are you using managed path, access mappings? Because you're going to want to have all that information as you're framing out your 2013 environment. A lot of ways of going to get that information. There is a PowerShell command in the box, test SP content database. It runs in both 2010 and 2013. This will tell you information about what is in the system, what's in each content database, and how likely you are to run into issues bringing that forward. There are a wealth of third-party solutions that can tell you information about your configuration, about your topology. One that Quest, now Dell, supplies, Site Administrator for SharePoint. You can see it in the booth. We also have a freeware companion to that called Server Administrator, which focuses on infrastructure. There was a command available in 2007 environments called, using the old command line tool, STSADM, to do a pre-upgrade check. It does not exist anymore. And STSADM is not officially the way forward for Microsoft at all. It's been deprecated. You're going to use those settings in the new environment. There may be some that are going to become brand new, but there are a number of PowerShell things that you may want to take reference for. We'll take a look at these in demo and how they work, but just to give you a little guidance to it, most PowerShell commands, if you haven't played with them, begin with get-sp. So to get a list, this first one shows you, I want to get a list of all the features installed in my environment. I want you to form, see this little vertical line. How many of you have never used PowerShell? Never used PowerShell. Put your hands up. It's okay if you haven't. Okay. Fine. These are very simple. The pipe is that vertical line, and it's just passing information from one command to the next. So this says, get me a list of the features in the farm. Dump it over to format list, turn it into that more readable format. And then out file says, take that, spit it out to a file. Get SP farm will give you the farm configuration details in a sorted list. There are variations of it. You can run get SP farm.build version to tell you what version of SharePoint you're running. There's a version build number that's inside it. If you come to my personal blog, I'm a fanatic about the internal version build numbers. You'll get a number that spits out. It looks like 14.0.0.6021. It'll tell you you're running Service Pack 1, or you're running cumulative update from August 2010, or whichever version you are. Lastly, this is the slightly more advanced technique, get SP site. Connects to a site, get SP web. Is going to tell you all the sites that live inside of that site collection. We're going to grab the URL, name, theme, the logo, the template ID, and dump it to OutGrid View. OutGrid View is a graphic element, so you can look at it on screen. Play around with it. We'll see those in demo. Good news, bad news about database attach. There's some things that you can upgrade with database attach, some things you can't. Content databases can be directly upgraded. Any of you running Project Server? I love Project Server. They can be directly attached too. The Project Server architecture shifted, so your four databases per instance come together into one. The rest of these on the left can all be upgraded through database attach. The ones on the right can't be. The key one is the configuration database, which defines the farm. It's never been supported before, and it never will be. You do need to actually create the new farm. There's no shortcut for that. When you're moving to the new environment, when you're planning out, one big change, SharePoint 2010, the default logins were based on Windows authentication. Default behavior in 2013 is based on claims. This is an invisible change to some people and a radical change for others. The best practice is to make sure that your source databases are running in an environment that has been pre-converted to use claims authentication against Windows. We'll show a technique for doing that. Again, don't change authentication modes at the same moment you upgrade. You want to clean that out first and make sure that that's set and all those changes are there before you move through an upgrade process. The other thing, and this is an adoption trick, URL changes. I never know what to do when I'm working on a client site and I see SharePoint URL that begins with http://webserve02. Because they put the machine name in as the basis for it, and if they ever build a new machine, everyone's URLs change. Use aliases. Figure out that URL changes are disruptive to users. They have favorites. They have bookmarks. There are workflows that are based on things being in certain locations. Try not to change those URLs at the same time as your upgrade. There's two approaches that you're going to be looking at, whether it's migration or upgrade. The key distinction there is are we taking everything over as is, hopefully structured appropriately, bringing it up in 2013, or are we bringing a clean 2013 environment over and using tools and techniques to push content in? Self-service is one approach. We build an empty shell of SharePoint. We tell users to cut and paste their content from the source to the target. It works. It can work based on users. Database attached, the technique is we're going to go through today. You can use tools such as our migration suite. You can write custom code for that. Sometimes there are pros and cons of those approaches. One of the things worth keeping in mind is if you have a messy environment that has unsupported code, upgrading it can run into challenges. But pulling that code out can leave the chaff behind and just bring the wheat forward. So in some cases, migration is clearly preferred over upgrade. When you get there in 2013, there are two modes of operation. SharePoint 2013 has a full 2010 rendering engine inside of it. For those of you who look at the file system, there's a 14 hive and a 15 hive. You can run a site in 2010 mode. There's a couple of things that have gone away. Web analytics has gone away. Office web applications have been moved to a separate server, a WAC server. Project web access sites aren't supported in 2010 mode. And anything that's brand new in 2013, like work management service or the social features, they don't come up in 2010 mode. In my home, New England, it's autumn. Time for cleanup. I have giant piles of leaves waiting for me in my yard back in Milton, Massachusetts for this weekend. No time like the present to clean up your environment. If you have dead sites, stale content, get it out of there before you upgrade. There's no time like the present for doing that. Look at versions. Sometimes people have allowed 500, 1,000 versions of the same Excel file to build up in the environment. There are tools that can help. You can write custom code. You can use PowerShell. You can use tools that we supply to clean up those environments. If you have 2010 systems that are still running in the 2007 rendering mode, you want to get those finished, the visual upgrades. You may want to align content to come to the right databases in the right places. And prepare for two things here. And I'll be happy to talk about them more at when I have more time. But PowerPoint broadcast sites are gone. Any of you using the PowerPoint broadcast feature? Absolutely not supported in 2013. Also, PowerPivot. Any of you using PowerPivot? Okay. PowerPivot's shifted. Now, PowerPivot V2 came out around the time of the release of SQL Server 2012 back in March. PowerPivot V1 and PowerPivot V2 have different site templates. So you're going to have a choice about whether you apply PowerPivot V2 in the current environment before you migrate, or you blow it all away, save those Excel models, and bring them up in a brand new PowerPivot V2 environment. But the PowerPivot V1 template is not in the out-of-the-box build of SharePoint 2013. This is a script. You'll have it. I'm not going to walk through it. This is the core of what you need to do in PowerShell to get a classic auth SharePoint 2010 site ready for claims. Download the PowerPoint. We're not going to walk through it here. And let's take a look in demo at some things you can do to prepare for that migration. Okay. That's the target. We'll get there in a second. Okay. So here's our environment that we're going to be moving over. So this is a very simple web app that we built using the Quest web parts. We can come here. We can add a new product here. Let's say I want to add Excel, sell it for $5. I'll give it a product code. It'll update the database, the grid view, re-render the products area. Wake up system. There we go. Okay. There it is coming up in the background. Okay, so I mentioned a couple things in PowerShell that you could use to get information about your environment. Very simple one here. I'm running here the Windows PowerShell integrated script environment, which is included in Windows. So I'm highlighting this single command of PowerShell, and I click this to run that. It's going to give me the output, and it says it doesn't like that. Why? The very first line up here is important. We need to tell PowerShell to add the SharePoint command set so it knows what to do. So let's do that. Add PS Snap-in, Microsoft SharePoint PowerShell, and this bit here says not to worry about it if it sees an error. So now this command should run just fine. It's going to contact the farm, give me output in list format. It's running. There is that kind of information. You can see here information like, for example, build version, 14.0.629.1000. We'll remember that in a second. We can take that. We can use these commands for features. The examples that I have here will show you how to dump those out to a grid. You can export them to CSV or files, just to give you a sense of what that looks like. There's the feature view. It's going to dump it out to this graphic mode so we could come here and see all the code that, whether it's in the box or has been added to the environment, there's a lot in there, so we might want to take that and dump it out to Excel. And probably the one that is really the most important trick here is this one, which I talked about before. And it looks complicated, but it'll run fairly quickly. It'll just tell us what sites are in our site collection in this quick graphic mode. So I can open this up and let's just look at, here's the URLs, here's the site name, here's what templates are there. So if I see anything that's weird or custom and you should have more in your environment, this is a good way to go there and help assess what's going on. That's about it for preparation. Now what we will, there's going to be a little Julia Child in this. So the database backup, reattach, and so forth, we're not going to walk through right now in the interest of time. But the next step of the process is going to be to take the content database here, make a SQL backup of it, and attach it into the new environment. Because the upgrade process will transform the database. So this is a running live environment, and we want to bring it over to a new environment while this one is kept up and running. So let's come back. What are we going to do to implement it? I mentioned this a little bit before. This is the core process we're going to walk through. Your 2010 environment ideally should be converted to claims before we bring it over. There's two ways of doing it. You can use PowerShell. If you had a 2013 environment, there's a PowerShell one single line command, convert SP web, that you could use, but that's not available for 2010. But the core technique we're going to do, we will build a clean 2013 farm. We're going to put any custom code, like the web parts, will be installed there first. We'll bring service applications over, like managed metadata. If they're required, we can attach them. But we want everything around the content to be ready for the arrival of the content database. We build a new web application. We attach the content database to it. We're going to see what the upgrade process looks like. It'll come up in 2010 mode. We have the option of running a test conversion to 2013. Or if we're brave, we're going to go directly to 2013 when that comes up. That's the roadmap for how we're going to upgrade. These are the account requirements. The core database information, as you might expect, you need pretty good access to the SharePoint configuration databases and to the content databases when we do the database attach. Further on down the line, when we do site collection upgrades, you need these permissions here. You need to be part of the site collection admin group. You also could be in the full control policy. Your web applications, before you attach them, make sure they're properly configured. The information that you've captured is where you're going to build out managed paths and URLs and make sure that everything is the way you would want it to be. And service instances, like metadata, like search, you want to make sure they're connected to the right web application. If they're not set up right, you can still upgrade the content database, but you'll see issues until you fix those connections. There's a lot of PowerShell that relates to upgrade. We are not going to walk through every one of them. It's a pretty broad menu. It's a veritable farmer's market of options here. There's two we're going to spend most of our time with. The first is test. Test SP content database will tell us anything that it sees that could be an issue. The database does not yet need to be attached into the farm. The second is mount. This actually does it. This brings us forward into 2013. This takes the database and upgrades it into the 2013 environment. It'll do some upgrade checks. It will run some compatibility checks. But it will bring the database up in 2010 mode. So if you have customizations in your environment that won't work in 2013, this gives you a stopgap. Once we're in 2013, SharePoint gives us the option of a site collection health check. This means it can go through the environment based in 2010, give you an on-screen report of the fitness of that environment to be upgraded. You can run it from site actions, and the site collection upgrade process will trigger it for you automatically. We'll show you this in demo. Once you're there, you have the option also of running it in side-by-side mode. One of the great features in 2013 is the ability to create site-level information policy. One of the practical uses of it is upgrade. So if I take a site collection and I'm going to upgrade it to 2013, I can have it run a test upgrade. It's going to set it up in a different URL. It's going to set it as a read-only copy. The process can take a while, so it'll send me an email when it's ready. The evaluation site creation by default runs every 24 hours. You can make it run more quickly. And it's set to expire in 30 days. So if you run a test and you forget about it, it'll blow itself away, which is good because if you have 200 gig site collections, the test and the original, you're now consuming 200 gig of data. And if you go through multiple tests, you could add up a lot more space. Here's how that process works. We've brought the site over, sites-foo, it's running in 2010 mode. There's a content database. There's a config database. We say we want to do that. A timer service job, which again runs every 24 hours, typically overnight, will create a snapshot and build a read-only database to house that information. That information will be a clone of the original and will be called typically something Sites eval. But it'll bring everything that it can from Sites, webs, and docs so you can see what the environment will look like in 2013 mode. Adds it to the configuration database so we can reach it. And we're good to go. It tells people that Sites foo eval is now available for testing. And the testing happens, and we either are satisfied and we blow it away, or 30 days later, it will actively be deleted from the system. Finally, once you've upgraded, it's important to test. Upgrade can be an intensive process. When you're troubleshooting, the best summary I can give you is to take a look at the upgrade logs. In the upgrade process, you'll frequently see links out to the log files. Those log files now run in unified logging service mode, ULS. This is the preferred way that SharePoint likes to store event-based information. That's where you want to go to find information. There are a number of CodePlex solutions out there that help you look at ULS logs. So if you've been using those in your current environments, you'll be familiar with how to go out and read those text files. That said, let's fire this thing up. Okay. There we go. That's where we're coming from. Here's where we're going to. So this is my 2013 environment. It's running in Hyper-V back in our lab in Canada. This is the content database I made a copy of from the 2010 environment, attached it here in 2013. No changes have been made to it so far. Again, the things I want to do here are going to begin with PowerShell. First thing, always safe, make sure that we've run this selection, it's fine. Second step is to test it. We get this output. We could use some of those same techniques we talked about earlier to dump that output to a file. The key thing we're looking for is stuff that's marked as upgrade blocking. See where it says here, upgrade blocking, colon, false. That's good. You will have some errors. There may be some solutions that are out there that aren't fully there, but it's telling us this is OK. We are ready to upgrade as long as all of these things, there are no trues on upgrade blocking. You should read these files and make sure that there may be elements, there may be other errors that you see that you want to address before you go through this process. The last one here is mount SP content database. So in my target environment here, you'll see there are no content databases. I have a web application running on port 81 here with nothing inside. It's an empty shell. So we're going to come here and we're going to attach this database in PowerShell. There is a way of doing it in, you can do it through the central admin UI if you choose to, but PowerShell is your friend. The syntax of this line is fairly intuitive, but let me just blow it up here to make it clear. Mount SP content database, the name of the database and the name of the web application that we're writing it to. And here I'm putting on the verbose element, which will give me a lot of information on the screen. So let's run it. It's going to start this, and it's going to start writing status information here inside of the ISE. This is a little bit hard to read. So what we can do is come back into central admin if we really want to know. Look at upgrade and migration. Check upgrade status. We'll see that this is in progress. So while we're waiting for this to proceed, just a quick explanation. We wanted to create a content database that would be upgradable in the time available for a breakout session at SharePoint conference. The Golder environment is fairly large. It contains some sensitive information. We really also didn't want to do a 2 or 3 hour session while we all watched for these status updates to click through. But we picked a fairly small environment. And this should come up just fine. says we are at 28.13%. For people who are finicky, you get percentages at the command line too. The command line percentages and what you get through the browser are the same. They come from the same metric. So there's no preferred way of going for this. We've done this a few times. Let's check again. Okay, it says it failed. Now, it failed because there are some errors in the database, but none of the errors, as we know from our test, are critical. So now we have an environment that we can come to. Let's take a look at it. Here's where it was prior. Let's hit refresh. Voila. Here is our migrated environment brought up on the SharePoint 2013 box. And you'll see it looks exactly like a SharePoint 2010 environment with a couple of caveats. One is a little pink bar at the top of the screen. Experience all that SharePoint 15 has to offer. This is a reminder that we can do a site collection upgrade here. If we're going to, and here's our application, it's running just fine. If I want to do a few more things here, I can run, as I mentioned before, a site collection health check. So that runs at site collection level in site settings, and I can fire it off from right here. Site collection health checks, says it's never run. Please start this. It comes back fairly quickly. Voila, clean bill of health. We can try it again if we want to. I enjoyed that the folks in Redmond had some fun, you know, clean bill of health, flying colors. It's more information than just status passed. We like that. So we know that this is going to work. So let's go to start now. This brings us to a screen. It says prepare for takeoff. So if you haven't gone through those health checks, the upgrade process is going to force you to go through them again. And you have the branch here. Do you want to upgrade right now, or do you want to try a demo upgrade? Now, the upgrade process can be fairly resource intensive, especially for a large environment. So that's why the demo process runs nightly. We're going to skip the demo upgrade. We're going to go directly to upgrading our core environment. That runs in essentially real time. The timer service job runs almost immediately. And so when we do this, we say upgrade the site collection. And they're careful. They say, you're going to love this, but you know, this, you can still get a copy. If you're not ready, we're ready. Let's go. It's running health checks. You get the bar. Please bear with us. Automatically refresh every minute. Refresh now. While this is coming up, you get a link out to the log file. This is the ULS log for upgrade. It'll tell you anything that it sees going wrong. If your upgrade fails, this is where you're going to come to start getting clues about what's missing or what's wrong and why. Refresh now. Hooray! Upgrade completed successfully. What's new? Or let's see the new site. Here's the site. Here's the home page, which has one web part on it. We jump over to our quick app. And we see all of our information is there. Yay! I'm never 100% comfortable when I'm upgrading on a VPN connection, you know, 3,000 miles away. And there have been wireless issues, but we're happy. Save this. It loads the environment. SharePoint is in. Everything in the chart's available. If I wanted to come here and change my mind, delete that row, all of the web part functionality is here and available for me. And it re-renders the page. We are good to go. And if I really felt like it, I can go and start doing all sorts of other lovely 2013 things here, like changing the graphics, which I won't bother doing right now. So this reminds me it's almost time to stop talking, because I would probably stay on stage if I didn't get a clue that we're approaching the end of our time. So I wanted to wrap up. There'll be some time for questions. Just a reminder, please, please, please fill out your evaluations, and please, please, please be kind. This is the first time I've been at SharePoint Conference. I really want to come back. So I'll pander no more, but
me too.
If you need to get in touch with me, here's the contact detail. Email is a great way to get in touch with me. My personal blog at chrismcnulty.net/blog is, I put out a mix of technical and business advice on that. I also blog on the Dell SharePoint site, sharepointforall.com. I'll also be presenting at a number of places coming up, including Best of SharePoint Conference Northeast, in Florida, in the UK, at TechCon, SP Europe. And again, the hashtag for this session is SP201. So right before we move to the Q&A, I was really humbled by the number of folks who came out for the book signing yesterday. I do have one more copy left. So I'm going to ask a question, and please don't shout the answer out. But put your hand up, and I'll call on you, and the first right answer will get a copy of the book. So this is the SharePoint 2013 Consultants Handbook. It's got a roadmap for upgrade and preparation, along with a bunch of information. There will be an even bigger edition next year, but this one's here, and it's available now free. The question is, SharePoint Portal Server 2001 was released over 10 years ago. What was the code name for SharePoint Portal Server while it was in development at Microsoft? I saw a hand here. What was that, sir? Tahoe, that's correct. Thank you very much. Thanks. So that said, we'll be sticking around. Are there any? We'll take some questions live, and then in a few minutes we can take them as breakouts. Anyone have any questions? Please come up to the mic. Okay.
On the upgrades, the case usually is for third parties like NewsGator and everything else.
Yep.
Metalogix, those are the monster ones. Do you recommend, in that case, basically assembling them and make those guys install fresh, or do you go somehow simultaneously?
So the question is, how should you approach it if you have customizations or applications that are from a third party vendor? Well, the simple answer is, it's up to the third party vendor, and by the way, we're one. We own the responsibility for making them upgrade compatible. And in that upgrade compatibility, there should be some guidance as to whether the preferred solution for NewsGator, and I don't know the NewsGator answer off the top of my head, is that, you know, are you installing NewsGator with the new environment and migrating content over, or is it a tear down and rebuild? That's a question for them. Metalogix, it's going to depend. They have a number of solutions. I would guess, don't hold me to it, but I would guess if you're talking about the Metalogix storage point, the back end stuff should be, once they say it's compatible, the storage repository should stay the same. You should not have an issue there. They're a competitor, but I got to be honest with that one. For other vendors, obviously check their site. There is another choice, and I'm happy to talk to you about it at my booth.
Okay.
It's called Storage Maximizer. Any other questions? Terrific. Couple things. Please come to the book, to the booth, if you need more information. The earlier version of my SharePoint 2010 Consultants Handbook is available online, free. If you come to www.quest.com/get-chris-book, you can download a copy, free of charge. We promise not to pester you. Here's where to go on my SPC. You can scan the quick code if you need more information about what this session was, SPC 201. And this means we're really done.